This half hour of the I Work For Him radio broadcast is brought to you by Nepsis. When you invest with clarity, you have better wealth and a better life. Clarity is the single largest challenge keeping investors from achieving more. Visit Nepsis online, nepsiscapital.com.
Who do you work for?
You work for someone.
Are you just there for the paycheck?
Your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord?
What if God has more for you at your 9 to 5?
Each one of us has a calling. Have you heard this before? Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him?
Hey, Jim, who do you work for?
I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to I Work For Him. Join the I Work For Him Nation at iworkforhim.com. That's iwork, the number 4, him.com. And now your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work For Him Nation and cities around the United States, you've tuned into the fastest hour in Christian talk radio. Hey, welcome to I Work For Him this afternoon, as we are going to have a conversation today. I think it's going to blow your mind a little bit, because it blew my mind as I read this book. But before we get to Dave Kahle and his book, The Good Book on Business, and the conversation, I really want to make sure we know that you know how to engage with us on social media and our website, because we love to hear from you, our listeners.
That's right, Jim. So this week, specifically, if people go to our website and our Facebook and all of the different social platforms, it is Giving Tuesday tomorrow. And so they will see something that says, Be the Gift, and that will be a good indicator that they are in the right spot. And we just really believe that all of us can be a gift to those around us by being the light of Christ in our workplace. And so that's kind of where we went with that theme for Giving Tuesday. And hopefully people can be a gift in their workplace and do that through helping I Work For Him move into 2019.
Yeah, to those all around the country that have yet to hear the message of I Work For Him, the fact that their work matters to God, the fact that their workplace really is a mission field, the fact that they may be the only Jesus or co-workers and employees may ever meet, that message is for you, our listeners. That's why we love for you to connect with us online, iworkforhim.com. You know, I think we can all agree that God created work. We talked about that enough on the show. God is a worker. He's a creator. He's always doing something in billions of places at the same time. But what I'm not sure we can all agree yet on is that God gave us work as a gift and a calling, and that He gave you work so that He could work alongside of you. Work. We all get to do it. A Romans 12:2 paradigm on work would be to recognize that God is pro-business and that this work is a gift from God, and to recognize that He wants you and me to walk along the side of Him through the day, each and every day, recognizing that our work really is a gift. Today, we're going to explore this concept and so many more with Dave Kahle. Dave recently wrote the book, The Good Book on Business, but this isn't a book just for business. If you're not a business person listening today, don't tune out, because the concepts today, I think, are going to stretch your understanding of Scripture in a way that I've never had my own mind stretched. This is the freshest look at the faith and work in movement and the faith and work in business that I have read in a really long time. Dave Kahle, welcome to I Work For Him.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, Dave, we ask this question of every first-time guest. We always ask, hey, how did you come to be a follower of Jesus? What's your story?
Well, I, you know, I was raised in a very religious home, and I, you know, a Catholic home, Catholic schools, high schools, and so on. And I grew disenchanted with that as a teenager, and then found myself just really searching. And I, you know, I did Eastern religions, and I did yoga, and I did Zen, and just really knew that something was missing, and I couldn't find what it was. And then along came a book. I was at this point, I was 24 years old, and maybe you remember, maybe some of the listeners remember the late great Planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. And Hal Lindsey, right?
Hal Lindsey's End Time Prophecy, and it was a huge bestseller. Anyway, it's End Time Prophecy. It's a revelation, and I read the book. Somebody gave it to me, and it just absolutely scared me to death. You know, I was frightened, and I found a Christian preacher and started to study with him, and you know, would read during the week and visit with him. And after about 6 months or so, I decided this is what's been missing, and I was baptized, became a Christian when I was 24 years old.
That's so fabulous. So, you know, what an encouragement for people to hear that, you know, something that can just stir your mind can then end up changing your life. So where in your walk then did you start to make the connection between your faith and your work?
Well, you know, I think probably when I went into business for myself. So I had a career as a salesperson, a divisional manager, regional manager, and so on and so forth. And then I left that and went into private practice as a what I call a sales authority. And it was in that private practice where this is one of my points in regards to business. There's nothing like business to drive you to a relationship with the Lord, and you know, the ups and downs and the countless decisions that you have to make. And I began to see how important God was in my business. In 1994, this is almost before the business as mission movement, in 1994, I wrote my company's vision and mission and values statement. And, I started out saying, this company is owned by God, and our purpose is to do His will. And that was in my mission statement in 1994. So I was there, but I wasn't... It was almost kind of instinctive, almost intuitive. I hadn't fleshed out the concepts and things the way I have today.
That's what I was going to ask you then. If you had somebody that was living there as an example in front of you, or God just kind of stirred it in your own business mind?
No, there was no example, honestly. And the business that I was in, and still am to some degree, was sales training and writing and so on. It was a pretty solitary business, so... No, there was. I really have had no mentor along the way.
It's too bad you hadn't gotten exposed to Stanley Tam back then, because he had written a book back in the late 60s about God Owns My Business. What a phenomenal book, written at a time when nobody was really living out that idea. I got to read that book only about 10 years ago. It was just so phenomenal. So we're talking with Dave Kale today about his brand new book, The Good Book on Business, Lessons from the Number One Bestseller of All Time. Dave, let's get into the concept of the book. Because you're going to present some stuff today that a lot of people have never really heard before. Where did work come from?
Well, it came about in right at the beginning of creation, when God created Adam. You know, He said, Adam, basically, I'm paraphrasing now. He said, Adam, I'm going to put you in charge of the garden. Your job is to work it and care for it. And then, just a few verses later, he establishes to Adam his lifetime endeavor. I mean, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to occupy your time, Adam. Work and take care of the garden. And then he gives him his first task within that larger framework of this is how you're going to spend your time. Then he gives him a very specific task, and the task was, Adam, I want you to name the animals. And this is what is just so important, so precedent setting. God says, I will bring them to you, and you name them. So teamwork, you know, the very first task given to man, God says, I'm going to work with you. And He sets the precedent, and this is a precedent that we see throughout the Bible, I mean, over and over and over again. God gives man the task and works with him to complete that.
Okay, hang on just a second, Dave, because what you just said is so... I mean, I have been reading my Bible since I was a little kid. Well, since I was 13 years old. I have been going to church since I was a little kid. I have that concept of the fact that God gave us work and then says He wants to work alongside of us. That's a powerful, powerful, powerful concept. And so I want to dig into that deep. I don't want to brush past that really too fast, because if we got one thing communicated the entire hour today, that one thing is so important. So you're saying that you believe that God gives us work, which I think we can all agree on that. God gave us work, but then He wants to work alongside of us. And you use the first example is that He told Adam, I want you to name all the animals, but then He brought the animals to Adam. And what other places in scriptures are there examples where God worked alongside of us?
Oh, over and over. Here's the thing, Jim. Once you open your mind to it, you see it all over the place. So, let's talk about Noah. Who brought the animals? God did. Who gave them the directions? God did. Talk about Moses. And
You missed the part. Who grew the trees 700 years earlier so they were there for him to harvest and build the ark?
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, Moses and you know, the whole thing with the Pharaoh and all of the curses and the problems that God brought on Pharaoh through Moses. I mean, Moses and God are working together. God gave Moses the challenge: take the Israelites to Promised Land, and I'm going to work with you over and over. I mean, once you got that idea, you can't help but see in almost every Bible story, the entire Bible, you see that over and over and over again.
When we come back, lots more with Dave Kales. We're talking about his brand new book, The Good Book on Business. Check him out online, Dave Kale, KAHLE.com, DaveKale.com. We'll be right back with more on I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Yet the world you and I live in doesn't know that. Your workplace is a vital mission field because it's full of people who need Jesus. Join the I Work For Him Nation today and start living with gospel mission intentionality in your workplace. Go out to iworkforhim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag. Be the difference in your workplace. iworkforhim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag. In this month where we celebrate thankfulness, Martha and I thank you for tuning into I Work For Him to hear amazing stories of what God is doing in the workplaces of America. Are you grateful to someone in your workplace that's living up their faith? Have you experienced an incredible kingdom experience at a local business? Nominate their story to be heard on the radio. Go to our website and tell us their story. iworkforhim.com, click on the contact tab. That's iworkforhim.com/contact. Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as Martha and I talk today with Dave Kale. K-A-H-L-E. Well, that's really important. It's not spelled like the salad. He's got a little H in there. But what he's got is so much better for you than what kale tastes like. He's got a website full of incredible resources that Martha and I are going to talk with Dave Kale about in just a minute. Dave Kale, welcome back to I Work For Him.
Thank you.
All right, so right before the break, you were starting to make this really great point, but I had to interrupt you because we had to go to break. Talk to me. What was on your heart?
Well, you know, you just mentioned that you never really seen some of the concepts before. My point is that most Christians have never seen them before because they haven't looked for them. Mm-hmm. And the reason they haven't looked for them is because they've been content to just accept, you know, the concepts and the ideas put forth by what I call the religious establishment. So we've never looked for them. They've been there in the Bible the whole time, but nobody ever looked for it.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't we see it? Because we didn't look for it.
Good point.
Well, and there's so many people that would say that, you know, business is a modern idea. The business is not a, you know, that it's, you know, that it's, you know, it's just from, it's from the Industrial Revolution, that before that business didn't really matter. There's a lot of that concepts where the church sometimes can be seen as being anti-business, yet in your book, you spend a ton of time really focusing on the fact that business was God's idea, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And not only is it his idea, but I believe that he has organized his people along the lines of, you know, at the top are people groups, and then the tribes, and then households, which is another name for what I call a biblical business. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, when you see the word household, understand that's not a family, that's a business.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, I think you're getting a little carried away. No, I actually don't. I totally agree with you, but I want us to step back for a second and explain this to all of us, because everybody listening today is going, wait a minute, he just said that when we read household in the Bible, you're saying that really can be interpreted as business. Where do you get that idea?
Yeah, well, you know, it jumped out. I mean, sometimes these simple little scriptures that we just pass over. So this is in Genesis 2:19. when the story is Abraham, you know, Lot and his family was captured, mm-hmm. and Abraham is gathering, and the verse says, and Abraham gathered 318 trained men who had been born in his household and went in pursuit of Lot. Now, because you think, and this is a story about Lot and Abraham, you just gloss over that, but just stop a minute. 318 trained men who had been born in his household. How big was Abraham's family at this point?
Well, he didn't have any kids either.
He only had his wife, Sarah. There were no children. He was childless.
Right.
318 trained men. Yeah. Who had been born in his house? How many untrained men? How many right. mothers and fathers? How many sisters and brothers? How many too old or too young? His household probably was in the thousands.
Mm.
And he had no children at this point in his life.
And
his
so,
household was an economic entity, not a family.
And, you know, when you really look at, I mean, Abraham had tremendous influence in Canaan. People, he was well respected because when Sarah did die, you know, somebody said, hey, you know, here's a field in the middle of our land. We'd love to be able to sell you the cave. I mean, everybody knew who he was. And obviously with those 318 trained men, he was able to take back from the people that beat up on Sodom, get back all the plunder. I mean, it was that's a sizable army since most of the kings were just rulers of a single city. Abraham seems like that's where he was at. So how this concept of household, what did a household from back, you know, 3,500 years ago, what did that look like?
Well, there was family. There were also servants and slaves and employees. I don't have all the scriptures right in front of me, but it's in the book. And I mean, there's definitely a scriptural background for every single thing I just said. So households were entities, economic entities, whose first purpose was the economic welfare of the folks in that household. And they were families, yes, they were, but they were also slaves, servants, and employees. So that whole unit of people gathered for a purpose, working together. And God is right there in the middle of it saying, I'm going to work with you. That's how I'm going to interact with you in your work. Just like he did with Adam, so he did throughout the entire Bible.
So I just want to remind our listeners that we are speaking with Dave Kahle, K-A-H-L, and his new book called The Good Book on Business. And we are going to be giving away a copy of that to our listeners. If they will stay, hang in with us and call into the listener line, they can enter to win a copy of that book today, and Dave will send that out to them. I have a question you're pointing at.
There's an E at the end.
Oh, K-A-H-L-E. I didn't say the E?
No.
Okay. I couldn't tell what Jim was pointing at on there, and the print is small from across the room. So anyway, my question then about this, if I am now understanding a better... have a better description in my head of what household really means. How can I use that information as I'm reading scripture to interpret it better? Like, how does this help me in my better understanding of God and work?
Well, there's just so much. It's hard to know where to start, Mother. But let's just start at the very end. You know, the New Testament, the Book of Acts. The early church was expanded in a large measure by converting whole households at a time. In other words, the whole business converted to Christianity at one time. And there are four examples of that in the Book of Acts. The most probably the most well known is Lydia, mm-hmm. you know, who was the seller of purple, and the scripture says Lydia and her whole household were converted and baptized, and then Lydia invites the apostles in to stay at her home. So read whole household as her entire business. Hmm. All the slaves, all the family, all the employees, you know, all the servants, everybody at one time. Now, there are three other examples of the entire business at one time converting to Christ. So we see, you know, just how can that be used? Well, there's a lesson in there mm-hmm. for folks today. Mm-hmm. You know, here's, and it's, you know, once you begin to get the the fetters off of your mind, begin to see things in a little different light, you just see all kinds of things. For example, look at God's wisdom in converting a whole household at one time. You know, what modern churches try to do when people come in is they try to create community. Didn't need it because community was already there. They tried to put in authority system and structure. Didn't need it. It was already there. They had tried to have something in common. Didn't need it. It was already there.
Right.
See, God took that structure that was already there, flipped it for his purpose. Bam, just like that. We have a whole new group of Christians who already know each other, already have reason to be together, already yep. have authority and substance and infrastructure and structure already there. He just flipped it
wow.
over and over four times in the New Testament. Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's the family that Peter went to when he learned that he could when he wasn't supposed to judge what he ate anymore, that everything
right.
was. I mean, that whole family. But let's just talk about the practicalness. What is Why does this matter? How do we take this concept of household and as people that work in businesses or people that work for organizations or people that run those organizations or own those businesses, how does this concept shift that paradigm in a permanently Jesus focused fashion? Because this is really big stuff.
Jim, it changes everything. And I know that's a strong statement, but it's huge. So let me, I got to go off on a little bit of a tangent here in regards to the institutional church system, which has spent, 540 billion dollars in the last 20 years and is losing market share.
Yeah.
So we have this system of churches and pastors and denominations and seminaries and people who sell them, so on and so on. And it's losing market share. I just stop for a minute. You know, there are fewer Christians today than there were 20 years ago, but we burned through $540 billion in that whole thing. What entity, if you just took a little business perspective and say, what business would we allow that to happen? $540 billion. The problem isn't a new branch or a new branch manager or something like that. The problem is there's something wrong with the model.
Well,
Something's wrong with the model.
That's right.
We'll talk about what's wrong with the model, and we'll find out, was Jesus behind this whole idea of looking at households like business as well? We're talking today with Dave Kale. He wrote the book, The Good Book on Business, Lessons from the Number One Bestseller of All Time. You can find, we'll give you a copy today if you call into the listener line, 866-713-9675. 866-713-9675. Or you can also check him out online, DaveKale.com. That's Dave, KAHLE.com. You're listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We'll be right back after these messages.
Jim and I invite you to join us as an I Work For Him partner. We can change our country through our workplaces, and you can help. Christ followers outside of Tampa Bay and the First Coast desperately need to know that their work matters to God. Help us take the message of I Work For Him nationwide. Be one of 367 partners to commit to $100 a month for 3 years. Only 2% of Christ followers in America know and understand their work is a gift from God. Be a gift to the other 98%. Go to iworkforhim.com and click on the Donate Now button and set up your recurring gift and be one of 367.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get 6 free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Yet the world you and I live in doesn't know that. Your workplace is a vital mission field because it's full of people who need Jesus. Join the I Work For Him Nation today and start living with gospel mission intentionality in your workplace. Go out to iWorkForHim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag. Be the difference in your workplace. iWorkForHim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. A NASA spacecraft has landed on Mars to explore the planet's interior. Flight controllers announced that the spacecraft InSight touched down Monday after a perilous supersonic descent through the red Martian skies. There was no immediate word on whether the lander was in good working order. President Trump has tough words for General Motors in the wake of its announced layoffs and possible plant closures. He says his administration and lawmakers are exerting a lot of pressure on GM in response to its decision to cut up to 14,000 workers in North America and shutter up to five plants. President Trump says the U.S. doesn't approve of escalating violence either way between Russia and Ukraine. Speaking publicly for the first time after a weekend naval confrontation off the disputed Crimean Peninsula raised tensions anew in the volatile region. Trump is not specifically calling out Russia's behavior. On Wall Street, the Dow by 354 points. This is SRN News.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. If you've ever wondered why some jewelry stores and department stores always have a sale going at 50 to 75% off, there's a good reason. Because most of the time, they're not real sales. The prices are marked up so they can sell the piece at a big discount and still make the profit they need. If you wanted to find a realistic sales event, the store wouldn't run a year-round sale and the discounts would be a little more realistic. For example, Underwoods puts all of our diamond solitaire necklaces and ear studs on sale in December at 15% below the prices we sell at the rest of the year. So there's a genuine savings to the customer. We also take trade-ins, so it's the ideal time to buy for someone looking to grow their pendant or ear studs up to a larger size. Now at Underwoods, we don't run a lot of sales, but when we do, they're real and a good time to buy. So come see us at Underwoods, San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
This half hour of the I Work For Him show is brought to you by Office Pride Commercial Office Cleaning Franchise. Own a different kind of commercial cleaning franchise. OfficePrideFranchise.com. That's OfficePrideFranchise.com.
Welcome back to I Work For Him. Boy, we got a conversation going today. For those of you that have just tuned in right now, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the archive, but just to bring you up to date, we're talking with Dave Kale today. He's written this book, The Good Book on Business, Lessons from the Number One Bestseller of All Time. Dave's last name is spelled K-A-H-L-E. I tell you that because DaveKale.com is the website you need to go to. Now, Martha, when you were checking out Dave, as I was reading the book, you're checking out his website. You said there's a lot of phenomenal resources out there. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, Dave, so I don't have all of the books in front of me, so I want you to just kind of give us an example of some of the other things that you have written, because I think that you have a very interesting vantage point and a lot of expertise behind that. And as our listeners can hear, also a little bit of passion behind what you're doing. Yeah, so tell us a few of the other titles that you have written.
Well, I have three titles for Christians and 10 for business people and salespeople. So the other Christian titles, one is called, Is the Institutional Church Really the Church? And it's an examination of just what the title says. And that's, you know, you can find that on the Dave Kale website or on Amazon.
Okay.
Another one is sort of my personal story of trying to be a Christian salesperson. And it's called The Heart of a Christian Salesperson. And it's sort of my story, in my career as a salesperson and then later a sales authority. And then on the business side, I've written 10 books. Probably the one that's most popular is a book called How to Sell Anything to Anyone, Anytime. And that's gone worldwide. That's one of four books that have gone around the world and are, you know, translated in multiple languages and so on.
Excellent.
One other that I'll mention is 11 Secrets of Time Management for Salespeople, which, again, is a worldwide book. It's available all over the world.
Excellent. So I just want to encourage our listeners, if they're like what they're hearing and they want to hear more, buy somebody who has this heart. Because even though you say those are kind of like your, your plain glass, as we call it, business books, they're still written by somebody with a heart for God. And so even though you probably don't have business or biblical principles laid out in there, I just think there's probably a lot of great things. And to hear a sales book, book on sales from someone who is living by biblical principles, it's got to be a great help for people. So I just want to encourage our listeners to check out his website. And that is Dave Kahel, Dave, KAHEL.com.
L-E.
Why am I having such a hard time with that? I'm sorry. I got it right here in front of me. KAHLE.com.
It's a long weekend. Just messed up.
I don't know. Too much turkey.
All right. Sorry. We're just trying to challenge our listeners today. we're so excited we get to talk with Dave Kahel today about his book, The Good Book on Business. Dave, right before the break, we were talking about things, $540 billion that's been spent by the church in the last 20 years, yet are losing market share. And a lot of that money's been spent on buildings, big buildings. And I don't want to get into, I don't want to get into too much on what's wrong with the church, but I want to talk about how do we take this concept of household and how do we take this and impact the marketplace for Jesus? That's what I want to know. And Dave, was Jesus behind this idea? Because, we talked about a lot of Old Testament examples and then a couple of New Testament ones, but was Jesus into this?
Well, you got a couple questions there. Let me go back to the first question, and then I'll circle around to the question about Jesus. But the question is how can this make a difference? This household thing, and it's this: for generations, business people have been on the sidelines in terms of the expansion of the kingdom. They have thought of themselves, and I have too. As a matter of fact, I wrote an article called "Second Class Christians."
Mm-hmm.
We just feel that we'll never measure up because we're not. Weren't trained in a seminary and so on and so forth. And so for the vast majority of Christian business people, Christianity is going to church on Sunday and it's got nothing to do with your business. Now, if we could just tap in to some of that potential that sits in that pew and say, hey, wait a minute, you are not a second class citizen. You are a first class. As a matter of fact, you're God's first choice to expand the kingdom, to be a conduit for his blessings of financial prosperity and spiritual gifts and so on. If we could unleash the potential of Christian business people, we would change the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so talk about change the world. How did that whole idea that as Christ followers, we're not second-class citizens, as Christ followers, our businesses really matter, our work really matters to God, how did that whole idea impact the early church?
Well, again, you saw the early church. You saw when Christians were converted. Often they were converted as a group, the whole church. And then as the church began to meet together, the primary meeting place was in the homes and businesses of business people. I mean, you don't see that because you're not looking for it. But once you begin to get the blinders off, and you'll see. Paul writing to people at the church that meets at so-and-so's house, the church that meets at so-and-so's house, and tell the people in this household, you see those kind of he didn't write paragraphs about households, but in his greetings and salutations, things like that, he's putting forth the idea that households are where most of the action is. not only conversion, but the expansion and the developing of the folks afterward. You know, the growing up of Christians afterward. For the most part, now not exclusively, but for the most part, it's happening in the homes and businesses of business people, households. It is all about households. Now let me if we can get that idea, if Christians business people can understand that it's not business as mission, it's business is ministry.
Right.
I don't call it BAM, I call it BIM. Business is ministry. You are a minister. You are a pastor of your folks, who the people who God has put into your center of influence,
right.
Your employees, your customers, your vendors. If we can get that idea across and people can start understanding that they are ministers in the kingdom, oh my goodness. I mean, the potential, like I say, in a decade, we could transform this country.
Okay, but there's a lot of people listening today, one of the challenges is there's a lot of people listening today that don't own a business. They may work in a business, but there's a lot of people that work in the government, work in healthcare, work in the education system, and they're trying to figure out their place in all of this. How does that translate into your idea behind household?
Well, households are composed of family, servants, slaves, and employees. So one can be an employee for a business and understand that this role is a God-given role. This is a ministry that you are operating in a unit here that is on a mission. And so you have a part of that mission. I mean, it's an incredibly freeing, exciting concept to grab onto, and it's the biblical concept. We just haven't heard that preached from the pulpit, but it's there anyway.
I love that. Hey, we're talking today with Dave Kahle. He's written this book, The Good Book on Business, Lessons from the number one bestseller of all time. Check him out online, Dave Kahle, KAHLE.com, KAHLE, DaveKahle.com. We're giving away a copy of his book today, 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK. If you'd like to get a copy, just call into the listener line, leave us a message. All right, I want you to give us some examples of what's this look like for people, because you've got some great examples in the book, and one of them is the story of Performance Systematics. I think I got that right.
Yeah.
Can we really succeed in convincing Christ followers that the workplace they leave, because that guy that did that one, if I remember this correctly, he wasn't the owner, but he ran a division of this company, and he said he was going to lead it by kingdom principles, and it's a pretty great story.
Yeah, and it's Glenn, yeah, and so yep, he's not the owner, and he is the CEO of the company, but he's not the owner, and he is trying to lead that company as a business, as a ministry, and he's had conversations with the owner, and the owner is all for it because the results are so good. You know, I mean, he's got a great culture within the organization. A lot of the key people are Christians, himself included. He walks the floor every day when he comes into work. He greets people and asks from time to time, is there anything he can pray for them about? And if they get permission, which happens all the time, he'll stop right then and pray with them. People will come into his office and pray with them. And he is implementing biblical principles with the approval of the owner, who is not a Christian. So is it possible? Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. So he's doing it.
You know, and that's really the thing that we want our listeners to take away, is just the encouragement that where they are is where God wants them to be, and that God can use them in that place, in this household concept, you know, within the organization, whatever it is, whether they are the customer service on the phones, whether they are packing in the warehouse. There's so many places where we can have influence over other people with a biblical perspective. And that's really the encouragement for our listeners, is to hear these stories, to read books like this, The Good Book on Business by Dave Kahle, and really be encouraged to say, okay, how am I really supposed to be looking at my work and what can I be doing for the kingdom?
So, Dave, let me ask you this question. If somebody's already well into the development of a business, maybe they're 5 or 10 years into it, and they didn't have an idea of this concept, they didn't have any idea that their work really mattered to God, that their business really was a place of ministry, can they transform? Can a business be transformed into this whole idea of a biblical business?
I'm really surprised at that question, because we hadn't talked about this beforehand. Yes, we have a course called the Biblical Business Course. Hmm. It's a 12 session course designed for existing businesses, the owner of existing businesses, to take them through the steps to transform it into what I call a biblical business.
Excellent.
So is it possible? Absolutely. It happens all the time.
It's absolutely possible, and you will even help them with that process through this course.
Exactly. That's
exciting. So they can find out about that on your website, DaveKahle.com, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have another website. Let me give you that one.
Okay.
Well, it's called www.thebiblicalbusiness. And it's actually, so there's lots of links to the Dave Kahle site.
Yes.
So you can get to it through that, or you can go directly to it. But
the Biblical
it's
Business.
On the front page there.
Very
biblicalbusiness.com.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Sir.
Perfect. All right. When we come back, I want to look at another example, because you got another one in your book, the Good Book on Business, Inno Group, and I want to hear the story of Inno Group too. But as we're talking with Dave Kahle about his book, The Good Book on Business, just the understanding that God gave us work, wants to work alongside us in that work, and that our households, our businesses, really are an example of biblical households. We'll be right back with more on I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Jim and I are so thankful for you today. Your prayers, calls, and financial support over the last 5.5 years are reasons we are truly grateful. If you know of a business person that is living out their faith in their work, we want to cover their story. Please call the listener line and tell us about them at 866-713-9675. That's 866-713-WORK. May your month be filled with gratitude and thankfulness. That's 866-713-9675.
Homeowners, now is the season to be thinking about your roof, because all it takes is one storm to turn a small roof problem into a major leak. If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. You'll get reliable service and installation. And Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. So if you need a new roof, don't wait till the next storm. Call Sears Roofing for a free in-home consultation. Call 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now. 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
Jim and I ask you to join us in our radio mission of encouraging Christ followers to live out their faith in their work. Consider making a generous donation to I Work For Him as part of your year-end giving. This will act as a down payment for Kingdom Work for 2019. Our desire is to expand I Work For Him all across our wonderful nation. We need your partnership. Please join Jim and I to spread the message of I Work For Him. Go out to iworkforhim.com and click on the Donate tab. That's iworkforhim.com. Click on the Donate tab.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him. As Martha and I are talking today with Dave Kahle. He's written this book, and it's a book I really want you to just take a step back, because it's a little bit different concept than we've ever really talked about on I Work For Him before, but I love, love, love it. Martha, I don't know. What about you? This book?
Well, I think it's called The Good Book on Business by Dave Kahle, and you can find out more about it on his website, DaveKahle.com. And we are also giving away a copy of the book today to one lucky caller. 866-713-9675 is our phone number for that. What I think is it's just, when you said it at the beginning of the show, Jim, you said a fresh look. And I think one of the dangers we have whenever we read scripture is really not having the cultural perspective that helps us to understand some of this back behind the scenes that we don't get. And you and I had that cultural Bible for that very reason, because it really does open our eyes to things like this concept of household, which I'm going to go read about it a little bit in there. But just to realize that there's more to the story that we're not getting the first time through because we haven't looked at it through the eyes of our own work.
So, Dave, if you were to say, okay, boy, I've got I Work For Him listeners across the country and through podcasts around the world, and you said, boy, I want to make sure that, because not everybody's going to get a chance to read your book, there's 3 points that are earth-shattering, biblically centered, paradigm-shifting ideas. What are those 3 ideas you want to make sure people understand if they don't get a chance to read your book, even though we wish they would?
Yeah, well, I think first that God established business as the first place, and I'm talking about in order of sequence, the first place for him to engage with and interact with mankind. And again, you know, if anybody out there is an independent business person, they know exactly what I'm talking about, because all the ups and downs and billions of decisions you have to make just bring you to God. He wants that. You know, he wants to have a relationship with you, and it is in business and in work that he has first established that principle that he's going to relate with you and to you in your work. That's number one. Number mm-hmm. two, this idea of a biblical business being the unit of the organizational unit, really truly, for the economic activity of mankind. What that means is, if as individuals we can seriously pursue this concept of a biblical business, trying to transform our business into a kingdom entity with God in charge as the senior partner. You know, if we can do that, we're going to impact generations of people. We're going to impact employees. We're going to impact customers and vendors. We are going to have an impact that is generations deep. Mm-hmm. And if we can do that, now that's just one person in one business, but if we could multiply that, if we could multiply the number of biblical businesses, we could change the economy, we could change the political environment, this country could once again be a light to the world because of the soundness of the business operated by Christian businesses. We honestly could change the world in a decade.
Mm. Wow. Well, and we all know that if you can get 3 or 4% of the population all going in the same direction, you can absolutely shift the paradigm. Because, I mean, we've seen that happen in the last 2 decades. We've seen major shifts in our country, in our culture, by a very small minority of the people. All right, so let's talk about InnoGroup. They've got quite a great story, and you highlight them in your book.
Yeah. So a couple brothers got together, a little bit of backstory here. In Holland, Michigan, they were formerly employees of the Prince Corporation, and the Prince Corporation is a Christian-held business, very, very clearly a Christian business, so they had that in their pedigree. And then they formed Enotech, and they wanted to create, a kingdom business. They wanted to give glory to God in their business. And what they've done is establish a culture and a climate that has spun off, I think right now, maybe 6 or 7 other businesses, and the other businesses, the Enotech folks own minority interest in all of them, but if they have someone come to the forefront with a concept or an idea or something, they'll help that person in the business own a minority share and then help them to succeed. So the Enotech group now is a group of companies that all are, you know, have that same bloodline, in that they're Christian organizations trying to give glory to God in their businesses. And Enotech does a couple things that are, a little bit unusual. They very clearly, in their mission statement, they clearly identify their purpose. It's put it in writing, which is, by the way, one of the things to transform your own business is give God the acknowledgement in writing in your mission statement. But Enotech's done that. They do things like if you will take 2 or 3 weeks to go to do some work, some charity project, they will give that time off to you as a paid vacation, even though it doesn't count for your vacation, but they'll give you the time to do that. Mm-hmm. And everybody's encouraged to do that. So there's little strategies and tactics and things like that throughout their culture that just says we are going to try to use this business as a conduit for God's blessings. We're going to be a kingdom entity, and we're going to expand His kingdom through this business.
All right, we got a lot of people listening today, Dave Kale, that really they want to understand this a little bit better, and they want to know how it applies to their work, because they see the state of our country. They see the frustrations. They see so many hurting people who are lashing out that desperately need Jesus, and yet they see so many Christ followers going to work each and every day, not understanding the significance of their work, the significance of their calling, the significance of the intentionality of our Heavenly Father placing them where they are each and every day in their job, no matter what that job may be. Let's dream just for a minute. If we were to, how do we turn this country right side up? How do we gain the influence in the pillars of culture, the pillars of a nation? How do we gain that, gain traction and start flipping those things right side up again?
Well, as Christian businesses begin to expand, both expand, each one expands and grows and you know becomes the market leaders in all these different markets. As that begins to happen, as economic power sort of swells, political power follows that. And you know, look at some of, you know, we all are aware of some of the national Christian businesses. I'm thinking of Chick-fil-A, you know, and Hobby Lobby, mm-hmm. who have taken stands for Christ in their business. And these are well-run businesses that are beginning to increase their market share and become leaders in their industries. As that happens, political power follows the money. And as we grow in economic stature, both individual companies as well as the Christian economy in general, we will gain political power. And the way I believe it, and you know, that's particularly true in this country. I mean, America is built on business. Why not begin to do biblical business?
You know, okay, well, I got to ask you a question. Amen. We got a couple minutes left in the show. I want to ask this question because, you know, I love that you're saying that economic success swells political power. When economic success swells, then political power swells as well. But how do we keep people that have gained this political influence from not being negative with it? Because there's so much, the minute somebody's got political power, it's all about compromise, and it's all about, they start making so much money and start twisting people. How do you take that political power to sway a nation, to turn it right side up and not let it twist you internally?
Well, now you're asking me a question outside of my area of expertise. I am not a politician, Jim. I'm a business person.
but you understand the danger there, because economic success causes political power, we have to make sure, how do we keep it from screwing people up? I mean, that's a big thing. Let's go positive then, because we do live in a country where we still have freedom of so many things. And the freedom to live out our faith and our work is one of those things. In the last minute or so, just share with our listeners about just a couple of steps they can take today to start recognizing the call to their job and how God wants to work alongside of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, it begins just like, you know, go all the way back to those first moments of creation when God gave Adam his first job and then worked with him, teamwork on it. That is a precedent that comes through to today. Expect, just acknowledge and expect God is going to work with you. He's going to be there. He wants to engage with you in your work. Mm. So, and the reason he hasn't, or we don't feel he has, is because we haven't been looking for him. Step one, begin to look for him in your work. I mean, acknowledge him. Ask him to join you. Ask him to be a part of your day. See how that goes. Ask him to inform you on, you know, where are there opportunities to, you know, just show a little love, compassion to somebody.
And that's what we got.
I mean, that's a great starting point.
Well, that's a good one. I love it. Dave Kale, thanks for being on iWorkFM today. Thanks for sharing the good book on business with our audience. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right, make sure you check him out online, DaveKale.com, Dave, KAHLE.com. You've been listening to iWorkFM with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers, our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately, I work for him.
FM 100.3, W262 AG Jacksonville, AM 1600 WZNZ, Atlantic Beach, Jacksonville.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialist on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Riche Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Riche Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click plumber in jax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Riche Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Riche Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Riche Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Riche Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.